Good morning, good morning.
This is a beautiful morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. God has given us an opportunity this morning to come together and speak about his glorious work here on the earth. Yes, my fellow hearers, God is alive and well and is doing an awesome work in our lives. So this morning we are so in tune with God, and we bless God this morning because we know that he is moving powerfully. Let us begin with prayer first of all. Father, today as we stand before your glorious presence, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for this day, for truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We are so, Father, in tune with your Spirit this morning because you are our hope, you are our God, and we rejoice in who you are this morning. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your goodness, your grace, your power, and your love. Thank you for waking us up this morning and knowing that the Holy Spirit is the one that's inside of us doing a good work. And every morning, Father, it's an opportunity to come before your presence. As we share this morning on this online gathering, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt you, we say, Holy Spirit, come, teacher, comforter, friend, the lifter of our heads and the horn of our salvation. We bless you this morning for everything that you have given us and what you continuously do in our lives. Thank you, Father, for the love and the mercy that you've had with us and towards us, that we can praise your name. Thank you for the glorious work of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord God, because you are with us. And God, we bless you, we magnify you, and we praise you. Thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank God for his tender mercies and his goodness and his grace and all the things in which God has done with us and to us in this glorious morning. We welcome you. The Lord, thank you very much. Somehow I got disconnected, but let us continue. We are this morning on the gathering, the church online, and this is your host for today, Pastor Jay Torres. For about 7 weeks, Apostle Manetta here, and I have been sharing about the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire. And we are so grateful today that we can be on live on this show to present to you the power of the Holy Spirit and tongues of fire. And this may be controversial to some people, but we're going to speak about it using the scriptures. And I want you to open your Bibles, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to go get your Bibles, get a notepad, a pen or a pencil, and begin to take notes. Sisters and brothers, so that you will be blessed also in this morning, so that you can come on hearing and seeing that God is true and the word of God is true. So get your Bibles as we continue to lift up the name of Jesus and study the word. You know, we need to study the word to show ourselves approved. We cannot negate that the power of God is still moving on earth. He is still seated at the throne, and he still determines our end from our beginning. And we glorify God for that today. So let us look at two main scriptures that we will be talking about that is found in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, and Isaiah 28, 11 and 12. In the book of Joel, because yes, the Holy Spirit was mentioned in the book of Joel in the Old Testament and confirmed in the New Testament, it says in Joel 2, 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on my manservant and my maidservants I will pour out my spirit in those days. In which days? In these days. Isaiah 28, 11 and 12 says, For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to these people to whom he said, this is the rest in which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. How interesting that even the power of the Holy Spirit that rests upon us is supposed to give us rest. Rest from what? From our challenges, from the sin in which we committed because we were born into sin. So today we are going to speak about the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire. We see that the power of God came on the church after Jesus resurrected. But let's look at Luke 24:49. It says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So we know that the Holy Spirit is the power from on high. In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist speaking said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And I want to tell you today, brothers and sisters, that word fire, it's a powerful word. Apostle Manetta Hare did speak about it last week, and you can go into our archives and choose what you want to hear, and it will refresh your memory. But I want to continue on with the scripture. Also in Luke chapter 11, verse 9 to 13, Jesus also speaking about this good gift, the power of the Holy Spirit, says, and I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it would be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a serpent? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? So we see that the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is a promise of the New Testament. It was given once Jesus resurrected. It was promised by him. And we see that if we ask God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what he's going to give us, a good gift. In John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, it says about the rivers of living water. And Jesus was speaking and said, at the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So we see that the Holy Spirit is a New Testament promise. It was given soon after Jesus was taken up to heaven. It was promised, and God is not a man to lie or a son of man to relent. When he says what he says in the scripture, he shall fulfill. And he promised it, and he fulfilled it. And we see that in the New Testament. Now, before I go on, I want to tell you that often there is confusion and understanding between the work of the Holy Spirit in baptizing every believer into the body of Jesus Christ at the moment of salvation and the work of Jesus in baptizing believer in or with the Holy Spirit. What does baptism mean? Let us define that word very quickly. The word baptize, instead of being translated into our language, has been transliterated in that sounds like the original Greek, bautismo, which was used by the writers. Actually, it means to totally identify by submersion. And I can compare it to a garment when it's dyed. It becomes totally identified with the color of the dye. If you take a white blouse or a white dress and you want that dress to change color, maybe a red color, maybe a brown color, whatever color you desire, you take that white dress and immerse it into the dye. And when it's finished, when you bring that garment back out of this dye, you will see that it changed the very color of the one that you desired to give it. And so that is a definition which I can compare with being baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit totally identifies with us with Jesus Christ at the moment of salvation. We know that the moment we received Jesus, we were baptized into his body. We became born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And so we go through water baptism. And the water baptism is an exterior sign of what happened internally. It is externally identified that we were baptized into the body of Christ. It is a picture of the testimony before men that we have been already identified with Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. That is the water baptism. However, totally identified with the Holy Spirit, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So let us speak about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. First of all, who is the baptizer? Well, Jesus said we will receive power on high once we received the Holy Spirit. At the moment of salvation, we were baptized into his body. We became intimately united with Jesus. We are members of his body, and I want to give you further scripture for that. Romans 6, verse 3, Galatians 3, 7, and 1 Corinthians 12, 13, Ephesians 5, 30. We are all members of his body, and I will read that one. We are all members of his body, all of his flesh and of his bones. So we have been baptized into the body of Christ already. So who is the baptizer? The Holy Spirit. Jesus as the baptizer. Let us look at that as a separate and distinct function. Experience. The scripture makes it clear that Jesus wants to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. John, the one that baptized in the wilderness, spoke about this baptism. In Luke 3:16, it says, John answered, saying to all of them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal stripes I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. Bless God. Oh, we bless God this morning for his word and for the things that he continuously gives us day after day. We are so excited to know that God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? We are so excited that God has promised us through Jesus Christ to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus gave a command before he was resurrected, or rather before he was received in the heavens, and he was with the disciples, with the apostles for 40 days, and he spoke about the baptism and other things he commanded. But one thing he commanded that stands out more than anything else, and it found in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, I am just repeating certain verses that Apostle Mineta had shared in previous weeks as we have been speaking about the Holy Spirit. And I want to concentrate today on baptism, the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, from verse 1 to verse 4, it says, "Now, when the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were seated. And there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." I want you to really pay attention to these verses in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and 4. "They were waiting, and suddenly came a mighty rushing wind from heaven, and it filled the whole room in which they were seated, and they were waiting for the promise of the Father that Jesus had indicated that they would wait to be filled and endowed with power from on high. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit fell on each of them as it was a fire upon them, and they began to speak with other tongues." How did they identify with the Holy Spirit? They began to speak in other tongues. That is so amazing to me. That is so glorious to me, because I know that God is still doing this work on the face of the earth. In Acts chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, because as they were speaking, there were men and women that were there that came to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. And so they were there to celebrate the Passover and the day of Pentecost. They knew of all these gatherings because the people of God knew the word of God in the Old Testament, and they followed whatever God had written previously. So they were hearing so many things happening in the upper room, and there were men and women that heard these disciples speaking in tongues, and many could identify the language by which they lived in, where they came from. See, they were Jewish, but they lived in other countries, in other cities, and spoke different languages. But in that moment where the Holy Spirit was filling that room, they were able to hear many speak, glory to God, in this language of their native tongue in which they were born. And so they heard it, but many others, not understanding the language, began to say that these were drunk. So Peter stands up in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he said these words, "For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Now, Peter said, "Listen, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. These are not drunk, but they are speaking the oracles of God." And God was speaking through them, and they were speaking the marvelous works of God. I can just picture what God was saying to each individual that understood that language. God was revealing to them that he was the Messiah, that the Messiah had come and had resurrected, and that he was inviting them to come and truly receive and drink of his Holy Spirit. Spirit. Bless the Lord. So there are many teachings that say that was for a time then and it's not now. But brothers and sisters, I tell you the truth today that there is a power that is endowed from high, that in this very day God can baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You know, we have to understand that this is not a teaching of a one-time event. After the Holy Spirit came on believers in the upper room, we see in the scriptures in the book of Acts that the man that was lame was healed at the gate called Beautiful. We saw that Ananias and Sapphira died. Deacons were chosen, and after Stephen was stoned and the persecution had become more pronounced, there is another recording of believers being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we have to look at scripture and test everything through the word of God. Now in Samaria, we see that also the Samaritans were baptized with the Holy Spirit. When Philip went to Samaria, revival broke out, sisters and brothers. Samaria received the word of God, and then Peter and John came. And this is what the book of Acts says, this history, so that I can read it for you from Acts chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. And I pray that you write down this scripture. If not, you can come back and hear this recording. It says, starting in verse 14 in the book of Acts, chapter 8, it says, "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they said to Peter and John, when they had come down, prayed for them that they may receive the Holy Spirit, for as of yet he had not fallen upon none of them. They had not been baptized in the name, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit." That's Acts verse chapter 8, verse 14 to 16. Please read it, write it down, see for yourselves. We see also in Caesarea how the Gentiles, not only in Samaria, but in Caesarea also received the Holy Spirit, so that we will not think that the Holy Spirit came only on the Jews as a one-time event. It came on the Gentiles, and not only as a one-time event. We see that in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit fell on the Caesareans over in Caesarea. In Acts chapter 10, verse 44 to 46a, it says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who had heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." See, we can see and understand that the Holy Spirit came upon those in Samaria and Caesarea because the evidence was the speaking in tongues. Glory to God. In Acts 11:15, it says, "And as I began to speak," this is Peter testifying, "the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning." When he went to tell the church in Jerusalem and give account what happened, he was speaking to them, the Holy Spirit fell on them just like it did on us in the day of Pentecost. Glory to God. We know that the first baptism in the Holy Spirit took place about 33 years prior, and towards the end of the book of Acts, we see Paul also come to Ephesus, and the Holy Spirit was poured out. In Acts chapter 19, verse 2 to 6, and this is Paul speaking, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "We have not as much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Now listen well, they had said into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who came after me, that is on Jesus Christ. Now, when these people of Ephesus heard, they said, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They just wanted to put everything into perspective and do according to the scripture. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So we see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit just speaking unto them that believed in that day. We also see in this verse, and I want to read it very carefully, in verse 2a, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? You see, they were still believers. They were still serving the Lord. They had received salvation. They were baptized in the baptism of John, but now they were baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Why did Paul question and said to the believers when he arrived in Ephesus? He knew that every believer needed the power of the Holy Spirit to be effective witnesses. That was good then, and it is good now. We need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish everything that we need to do. Now, sisters and brothers, I would tell you, do not be grieved because you don't speak in tongues yet. I say to you that this gift is for all, just like Jesus declared it in the book of Luke. We see Luke writing this, and we know that the power of the Holy Spirit is for all those who want to receive this good gift. In Luke chapter 11, verse 9 to 13, we read it. You can be baptized in full. You can speak in tongues. You can prophesy. Just receive the Holy Spirit. I am so excited this morning because I know that God is doing a good work. But I want to let you know that God is able to do far above and exceedingly above all things that we can hope or ask for. So I want to tell you that Paul, when he laid hands on them in chapter 19 of Acts 2b and chapter in verse 6, it says, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues. I want to tell you that I welcome you to call on this prayer line if you have any questions at area code 347-945-6272. The number is 347-945-6272, and I will continue to be on this line another 20 minutes or so. So if you have any questions, please feel free to call in. I want to keep telling you and speaking about this, that the Holy Spirit began to fall on every believer after Jesus was resurrected and empowered the believers to speak the word of God. This was the beginning of the greatest evangelistic outreach in all history of the Providence of Asia. The results of believer having the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in their lives began a great wave of miracle evangelism. In Acts 19, verse 10, and it says, and they continued for 2 years, so that all who dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. We bless God. Now we come to the end of our class, and we will be speaking about receiving the Holy Spirit today. And I will just give you an opening statement, and we will come back next week and finish this teaching. It says, Jesus said we would receive the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand that I am so full of God today that I got to gather my thoughts, because I know that God is speaking. In the book of Acts, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Peter said that to everyone who would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, chapter 30, that verse 38 says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. This is so crystal clear, my sisters and my brothers. The people that were in the upper room had already received salvation. They negated their lives to serve the Lord, but they were waiting for power on high, the promise of the Father that the Holy Spirit would come upon them and they would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a good gift from God. We should desire every good gift that the Father has for us. We spoke about Luke chapter 11, verse 11 to 13. If any of us would ask for the Holy Spirit, I want to read that again before we finish so that you would go with this thought and you would just pray and receive the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking tongues and prophesy. God will do that for you because he loves you that much. Luke 11, starting from verse 11, it says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion or a serpent rather? If you then being evil, how then you will give a good gift to to your child, how much more your heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit. God will answer your prayer. God will give you the Holy Spirit. You will receive the Holy Spirit. And we will continue this teaching next week. We will go on to speak what God desires of us, and we will continue to identify speaking with tongues. We will see how it's manifest in the church, and we will speak about Paul also, which is my last point, and we will continue next week, that it is not to be forbidden, but it should be in order so that everyone would be edified and everyone would be blessed. You know, it's a strange thing that only the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are told, or some churches forbid speaking, and many groups forbid speaking in tongues. And that's not what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39. Therefore, brothers, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. How amazing, how grand that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write this in the Bible. It is as clear as the day, as the noonday, that Paul said, therefore, brothers, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues. Many times this is denied to many believers in the speaking of tongues, but it should never be denied to those who wait on the Lord, who desire to hear of God, who desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, who desire to speak with other tongues. My God, God gives us his word and magnifies his Spirit. You know, we can build up our most holy faith praying in the Spirit according to the book of Jude, verse 20. You know, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. You can pray in tongues, sing in tongues. God can bring revelation as you speak in tongues. It's a gift for you today, sister and brothers. And I welcome you to receive the power, the gift of the Holy Spirit. There may be controversy, but the Spirit of the living God is evident today in our churches and in our lives. Yesterday, you can receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can receive everything that God has for you and I. And we are so excited excited today to know that the power of the Holy Spirit is for us today. I pray that this day this was recorded and that you will be able to hear it. Next week, next Sunday, we will come again and speak about this topic, speaking in tongues. Pray this week. Be before God's face and receive. God will not give you anything but the Holy Spirit. God is not the author of confusion. God speaks his word and it shall come to pass. God has spoken this word. And when believers receive the baptism and the Holy Spirit, they are being filled with the Holy Spirit, and there are speaking utterances that their natural mind would not understand, but they are speaking the oracles of God. So, my sisters and brothers, I am so excited to continue with you next week. We're going to close up this session right now as we pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence, for the anointing, for the word of truth, for the revelation of your word. Father, we pray that the people of God have received this word and they will trust you, Father, and go on to many other things, knowing that even speaking in tongues is an open door for you to use us in any of the gifts of the Spirit. We thank you today for your presence, for the anointing, for the blessing, for the manifestation, for the word of truth that has come upon this line. We are excited, we are grateful, and we thank you for this day. We pray, Lord God, that this day would be a mark in our destiny, that you have changed the mindset of believing that the Holy Spirit is not for today. We believe that it's a New Testament promise, and we all want to continuously be filled with your Holy Spirit. Fill your servants today as they pray before you, as they desire to know you and to have a more personal experience with you. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will come upon them and they will begin to speak in new tongues and refreshing would come upon their lives. I pray that this word would be sealed in their hearts and in their minds as we gather next week, next Sunday, on the gathering, the church online, to speak about your blessings, about your word, and about the things that you continuously give us and that you have promised us in your word, in Jesus' name. Well, my sisters and brothers, we have come to the end of this session, and we pray that you have been blessed. Also, if you need to just contact us, you can put on Apostles Mineta's page a prayer request, or on my page. I am Pastor Jenny Torres. I live in Houston, Texas, and it was a privilege and an honor to teach you today. Let us continue to press in to the promises of God and all the things that God has given us from the very beginning. You are blessed by God in favor. Have a blessed day. If you have service today, go into your service, worship God, and thank God for the revelation of his word and that God is faithful to his promises. You are blessed and favored of the Lord. Until we meet again next week, let us continue to bless God with everything. Please go back and study these scriptures. It's very important because faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. I know that I shared many scriptures with you, but trust the Lord. He will speak to you and he will give you the revelation you need for today. God bless and be well. Shalom.